Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. The topic of today's show is about the economic growth connection of Westmoreland County. On Monday, February 27th, the Economic Growth Connection of Westmoreland County held their annual membership meeting and luncheon. It was a great event, packed house, and the featured speaker was Stuart Hoffman, the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services Group, who talked about the current state of the economy. The event was held at the Fred Rogers Center at St. Vincent College, and the first person I caught up with there was Westmoreland County Commissioner Doug Chu.
Growth connection in relation to your position as a county commissioner, how important is it to have a strategic plan?
It is really important that we have a strategic plan, and the Economic Growth Connection has been a very excellent partner with the county. They are the ones that are championing our workforce development plan that we put out for working with high school students and all of the high schools within Westmoreland County so that students can be introduced to the jobs that are in Westmoreland County, do internships, and ultimately work for those counties. So it's very important that they have a plan and that they work hand in hand with the county every step of the way.
The whole goal is to keep these young people here, right?
Right. We do lose a lot of young people to other places within the country. And the main goal of this is to show the young people that the backyard that they live in has plenty of opportunities with good wages that they can go to work and stay within Westmoreland County.
That changing demographic, trying to sort of bend the curve a little bit, isn't just about people leaving, it's also about repopulating. And so having more people stay here is one thing. How about bringing them in? Are you excited about the potential that the Economic Growth Connection makes with bringing organizations here?
And that is another facet of it. In my term, the Economic Growth Connection has been instrumental in working at ways to bring in employees. The businesses that are a part of the connection are clamoring for employees any way that they can get them. And so the Economic Growth Connection does have a plan, and they are working on getting that in place to help bring people into Westmoreland County.
So a luncheon like today, where you get to see who the board members are, you get to see that the work's being done, you get to see the sort of the movers and the shakers that are doing that. I think it's a way to say thank you to the people who are donating their time from large organizations, small organizations, making sure that they're on the right path.
It is. We've got a lot of great people that are part of the Economic Growth Connection. They do volunteer a lot of their time because it's not a paid board position. And if it weren't for their dedication, the county, Commissioner Curtis and I, would not have a handle on what the business community in Westmoreland County needs.
What they need, exactly.
Right.
You want to make sure that you're legislating to what the constituents need.
Exactly. And so that's why groups like this are so very important. And my colleague and I really appreciate and look forward to helping fund them with different parts and aspects of their program.
Jim Smith is president and CEO of the Economic Growth Connection.
So today is a great day for the Economic Growth Connection. Tell us about what's going on here today.
Well, today we have a nice surprise because instead of having Abby Omadumbi speak, who has unfortunately gotten sick, we've got Stu Hoffman, the chief economist or former chief economist for PNC. We're having our annual membership luncheon here with a couple hundred of our supporters and re-electing new board members and old friends and saying hi to others. So it's a great day in Westmoreland County.
I can't wait to hear what the economic forecast is. It's really important. The work that you do is really trying to grow the connections in Westmoreland County. That's what you're doing every day.
Exactly it. And the gentleman I just said hi to was the guy who came up with our name, and I think it's perfectly fitting. Because that is the job. It's to try and find the right connections for people to get financing, workers, buildings, sites, all those things that they need to grow their businesses here in the county.
I think what was interesting, what Commissioner Chu was saying about how it's important to have an agency like yours so that the elected officials know what the business community needs. And that's key here when it comes to employment, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you don't have elected officials understanding what the needs of the private sector are and finding out what efforts are being done, even though they've got the Public Sector Industrial Development Corporation having that lifeline to the private sector is key to formulating a strategy that works out and makes sure everybody's on the same page and that the most effective solutions are being put in place.
County Commissioner Sean Curtis was also at the luncheon.
Tell us a little bit about why you think the EGC is so important to Westmoreland County.
The Economic Growth Connection helps our business communities, by offering them the ability to grants and loans that those that need it can take financing for other entities. So they're instrumental by working with our Industrial Development Corporation that deals with all our industrial parks and helps bring businesses. So their collaborating efforts, helping bring in these massive corporations, is a major importance for Westmoreland County overall.
So key to try to bend the curve of the changing demographics in Westmoreland County, right?
Correct. It starts with having great organizations like the IBC and the EGC. Those are obviously the most wonderful and instrumental ones to actually bring businesses that will bring people here that are the bigger conglomerates that will actually attract the people, the younger people that we need to move into this community.
Certainly, because they also worked instrumentally on the strategic plan for the county. And one of the pillars was sort of that younger demographic to bring people here, which is important. And I think it's also probably very important for you as a legislator to say, thank you, business community. Thank you for speaking up. Thank you for telling me what you need, right?
Exactly. Without the business community, our jobs would be, obviously, we wouldn't be here. We need private industry to tell us what's happening. We need to work collaboratively with private industry. Government doesn't produce nor make anything. So we must have a strong private partnership with, obviously, our businesses, making sure they're staffed. And that's what our job is. That's what my job is. Making sure we find the workforce so these businesses are able to flourish and grow for future generations. If we don't do our job, everyone suffers. So they're doing their part from the obvious and the business side. We as government must do our part to make sure that they're strong and they're flourishing every day.
After the break, we will hear from Stuart Hoffman, the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services Group, and he'll talk about the mild recession that he's predicting for later on in 2023. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, covering the annual membership luncheon for the Westmoreland County Economic Growth Connection that happened in late February at the Fred Rogers Center at St. Vincent College, hosted by Jim Smith, the president and CEO of the Economic Growth Connection. He invited Stuart Hoffman to be the keynote speaker at the luncheon. Stuart Hoffman is the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services Group. Here's what he had to say.
There we are. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Sorry about the bait switch, but it's a very nice analogy. Tom Brady is retired, and I probably should be, but I'm next. In fact, as you said, he's a rookie. He's only been there 33 years. This is my 43rd year at PNC. I've been there chief economist for about, I guess, about 35 of them or more. But a few years ago, I stepped into an emeritus position, which is what I've been doing for a while. And I told PNC, I said, well, I'm going to step back from the chief economist position. I insist I work 24/7. And they agreed, so I work 24 hours a week, 7 months a year. And it's a pretty good 24/7. Of course, during the pandemic, a lot working from home, as maybe some of you did. It's nice to be getting out again. It's nice to see people. And I haven't been to St. Vincent's in a while, as I figured out. But I came up here a number of times over the years and did a lot of things with the economics department at the university. So I'm really glad to be here. I'm going to go through a PowerPoint slide and do a conversation. Leave plenty of time for questions. Before I start, though, many of you maybe have heard economists, but I don't know how many, but I want you to know that there are three types of economists. There are those who can count and those who can't. So those are the three types of economists. So keep that in mind as I go along with some of my numbers here. So as you can see, a little bit of a message of caution. We do think the economy, which has come a long way from the pandemic, and still ways to go. May more because of inflation, and I'll talk about that and the Fed's efforts to fight it, and obviously global geopolitical developments, we may see the U.S. economy fall into what I'll call a mild recession in the latter half of this year and maybe into early next year. But so this is just an outlook for the economy, for GDP, the broadest measure of economic growth. I mean, you can see the collapse we had in the spring of 2020, the big rebound that frankly, I wasn't sure that was gonna happen a little over 3 years ago, as we were just moving into shutting down not only the US, but the global economy. The last quarter of last year, pretty good growth, close to 3% after declines in the first half of the year, that some people said, oh no, we're back in recession. We argue consistently, no. It is unusual to see GDP decline, but there were no other confirming signals, and particularly the most important, the job market. I'll show you in a few minutes. Companies kept hiring people and looking for people. And as Jim said about the labor force issue, I'll show you a few charts or a few statistics on that as well. I'm sure all of you in here are still struggling to find good people or retain people. It's no different at PNC. That's why Kevin and I are still there. They can't find anybody to replace us after all these years. So they just have to keep us around. If they can find good economists, I'd probably be home. But in any event, we do see a small decline. I don't show you 2024. Invite us back in a year, either myself or Abby or anyone in our group. And I think we'll be able to say, hey, the prospects look a lot brighter as we get through this sort of mini or mild recession. This, I put in there because it's the most colorful chart I have. So don't pay attention to the numbers, but there are a lot of really pretty flags. No, it's a way of looking at the global economy, the top half, developed economies, Europe, Canada, Japan, and especially because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, just past the year anniversary, if that's the right word, even, you know, it's taken a toll on European economy, and the UK has its own issues as well. So we don't think it's just the US. We do think you're going to see in our sense pretty weak growth across at least Western Europe and probably North America. In the lower part, we look at some of the emerging markets. Brazil, India, which by the way, probably one of the strongest growing economies in the world, and probably about to overtake China in terms of population. China, we show, this is not our forecast, this is the International Monetary Fund, so that's as good a benchmark as any. You know, it shows a pretty good growth in China as they come out of COVID and out of their lockdown. But, you know, we can talk about geopolitical risk, of course, Ukraine and Russia is one of them. What if China does provide arms to Russia? What are we going to do? It won't be pretty, so it's another downside risk. Hopefully China will not do that, and we won't have to show us in retaliation and kind of bump the ante, or at least, you know, call their pretty bad decision. So the global economy has challenges, but one thing you also notice, if you look back the last couple of years, other than in Japan and China, everywhere's had high inflation. This hasn't just been the U.S., all of Europe, our North American neighbors, South America, most of Asia, Australia, have all had high inflation. A lot of them the same recipe, if you like, in fighting COVID in back in 2021. Expansionary monetary and fiscal policies. Not only the Fed taking rates to zero, but the ECB, European Central Bank, Bank of England, Bank of Canada. These are all the Feds, as we call them. Central banks is the generic term. It was across the globe. And so we can, you know, find ways to treat it or ways to vaccinate against it, which as we know we're not perfect, but certainly, you know, the fact that we're here, we weren't going to be here, but we might have been here in 2020, spreading COVID, not knowing it to one another, but we certainly weren't here in 21, and I don't think we were here in 22 either, but, you know, more and more I've been out as you have been, kind of back to normal and so welcome. So it is a global recession, but it's been a global inflation and fight. And the U.S. isn't the only one raising interest rates. European Central Bank, the Bank of England, the Bank of Canada, the Bank of India, the Bank of Peru, the Bank of Australia, New Zealand, all of them, to various degrees, have been doing what our Fed's been doing the last year, because it's the same approach to trying to bring down inflation, which has been way too high, and to varying degrees. And I think we're actually doing pretty good, despite some bad data last week. Here's a chart on job growth. The level of jobs. In the U.S., before the pandemic, we had about 153 million people working. In the pandemic, we lost one out of every seven jobs. That was about 15%. And by the way, it wasn't any really different year. Westmoreland County lost 17%, the U.S. was 15%. The Greater Pittsburgh metro area lost about 16%. So, I mean, that was across the country. There wasn't any place that was immune. Now, the good news is every month since May of 2020, in this case through January, we have U.S. data through January. We don't have county or metro area data yet, in another week or two, but we have it through December. But in every month, we've seen a rise in jobs, and that's true. The Pittsburgh metro area, and it was true in Westmoreland County. There was one month in the last, but now, almost 30, 31 months, the jobs haven't risen. For the U.S., the recovery has been completed. I think you can see the last couple of numbers are a little above where we were, by a little over 2 million. Unfortunately, not here in Pittsburgh, metro area, or in Westmoreland County. We've got about 9, this is true for the whole metro area, all 7 counties, and also Westmoreland. We've got about 9 out of 10 jobs back. And what is part of the reason for that? Workforce. We lost, like the U.S. did, our labor force fell in the worst of the pandemic. At the U.S., we're back. The number of people working or looking for a job, what we call the workforce, is higher, just barely, than it was pre-pandemic. Although since the population rate, or what we call the participation rate, is lower. But we're not there. In both the Pittsburgh metro area, we gained very few of our labor force, and in Westmoreland County, you've actually lost more labor force in the, you know, the, call it 30 months since the worst of the pandemic. Not much, we haven't regained any. So it is labor force. It is retaining, getting people to move here, obviously having the job opportunities and the living conditions. But, you know, we're fighting that population decline throughout all of southwestern Pennsylvania, and that is true whether you look at the metro area, whether you look at Allegheny County, or any of the other counties. But still a lot of progress has been made across southwestern Pennsylvania and here in Westmoreland County. And I'm going to show you that a little bit here. In terms of the unemployment rate, the national rate at the top is broken down, in this case, ethnic, black, African American, Hispanic, white. You can see the rate, actually, the data here is from January, the rate that was just announced a couple of weeks ago, 3.4% for the month of January nationwide. That's actually lower, although versus 3.5. But at or slightly lower than we were back in January and February of 2020. That's also true around here. The unemployment rate in Pittsburgh, for all of Pennsylvania, it's a little higher than that. The unemployment rate across Pennsylvania is 3.9%. In Pittsburgh, metro, it's 4%. And here in Westmoreland County, as of December, it's 4%. It would be a, quote, better 4% if it occurred with labor force growth. But you've had enough job growth across this county and across southwestern Pennsylvania that we've at least brought our unemployment rates down, if not quite our number of jobs back up to the months immediately preceding the pandemic. So by that, I mean kind of January, February 2020, and even later in 2019. So a lot of progress has been made in terms of bringing jobs back nationwide, southwestern Pennsylvania, Westmoreland County, but we still lack the labor and the opportunities, the demographics that have brought it fully back to where it was. Job market, tough. It's called the Great Resignation. I like to call it, take that job and shut it. And that was a guy, Johnny Paycheck. You probably don't remember him, he was from Ohio, the frontier country. And he sang in the 1970s, and I actually went to school at the University of Cincinnati, and he sang, you can take this job and shut it. That's almost 50 years ago. And that's what people have been doing in record number. The blue bar is the number of job vacancies, openings, at least advertised, whether it's, you know, companies or Zillow or Indeed or you name it. And that can come down much. And orange is the number of people quitting their jobs. 4 million a month for about the last year. That is a huge number. This is nationwide, obviously this isn't here. Nationwide. I always show you the last couple of years, but probably the long run average is around 2.5 million. You know, people always quitting and moving, and but that's just a normal part of our mobile society. And as you can see in the pandemic, you know, 2 million, not surprisingly, 2 million people quit their job. I didn't know they had jobs to quit, but at 4 million, it shows how tight the job market is. And why don't you ever hear a different statistic from the Atlanta Fed? Shows that people who stayed in jobs last year got about a 5% wage hike on average. People who left and moved on got 7 on average. So clearly people were leaving because they were getting better monetary offers. Who knows about working conditions or, you know, work from home or benefits or signing bonuses. We don't have a lot of detail. But it was great people wow to move because, and it probably still is, because of how tight the job market is. Couple of charts here, I'm gonna go through these fast, a lot of numbers up there. This is manufacturing. This is a survey done by a group of manufacturing companies. And Westmoreland County has a greater share of its total number of jobs in manufacturing. The national number now is down about 8 or 9%. In this region, it's about 13%. So maybe about 1 out of 7 or 8 jobs in Westmoreland County are manufacturing. Maybe about 1 out of 12 nationwide. But this is a little bit of a canary in the coal mine. Because if you notice, the way this works, without gory detail, is when the number is above 50, and this is a compilation of like 6 or 7 indices, jobs, orders, sales, profits, prices, you know, we ask them. All these things were blended, weighted into one index, so you don't have to look at all the sub-indices. When it's above 50, it's a substantial difference. By the way, it's designed. When it's below 50, it's a contraction. Now look at the last 3 months. They're slightly below 50. And let's see, Wednesday, the first of every month, the day it comes out, I suspect when they announce the number on March 1st, February, it may have moved up a little, but it'll stay below 50. This is one of the reasons why we're being cautious on the overall economy going into the later part of this year. Here's the same index, same source, but for non-manufacturing companies. And actually, of course, this is a much larger share of the economy. This is about 80, manufacturing by output is about 20%. As I said, by jobs, it's less than that because of productivity. This is construction, this is finance, this is education, this is medical care, this is finance, professional business services, travel, tourism, technology. This is a really broad-based survey. Probably not fully appreciated the value this has. Well, it took quite a drop in December, fell below 50, same break even. But look at that rebound in January. And I think a lot of that had to do with one thing for sure, we were all spending a lot of money. Travel, tourism, eating out, getting around, seeing our family and friends that we maybe couldn't see or, you know, stuck at home. So one of the strongest parts of the economy is the travel, tourism, entertainment industry. And we see that here even in Pittsburgh. I got on the board of Visit Pittsburgh, which is our arm to promote Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I'm always meaning the metropolitan area, southwestern Pennsylvania, we have the convention center. Of course, somebody came here in 2020 or 2021, but a lot.
There you have Stuart Hoffman, the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of PNC Financial Services Group, talking about a projected mild recession in the fourth quarter of 2023 and the first quarter of 2024. He's looking particularly at the labor market, the Great Resignation, as he calls it, and really the slight contraction in the manufacturing sector of the market, which accounts for about 20% of the U.S. economy. But where they're seeing a boom is the other 80% of the U.S. economy. This is in construction, finance, education, travel and tourism, as he said, rebounded substantially in 2023. People out there really traveling, spending a lot of money on getting back out after the pandemic. And here was Jim Smith, the president and CEO of the Economic Growth Connection, to wrap things up at a wonderful meeting.
So, the world doesn't make sense, all stupid. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out this afternoon. Before we go, I'd like to point you to Virginia to receive our invitation for our second annual golf outing. And the second annual golf outing, see, up on the screen, it's going to be held at Todd Ridge again on August 19th. Last year was such a success, thanks to the excited to do it again. It's a great day. It's a great time. Please come on out and join us.
If you have an idea for a guest to be on our show here at Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB, give the station a call. We'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for new guests. The show airs every Sunday, 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I thank you so much for listening today. Have a great weekend.